This morning, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 14. The title of our message this morning is Love Fulfills. And this is a great passage because it's one that Paul is walking the Roman Christians through. He's just been talking to them about paying allegiance or respect for authority. He even includes in that the governing authority and making sure that they were being good citizens as believers. And then it's in verse 8 that he begins to turn and he starts talking about their relationship with those outside of the church as well as those inside the church. What Paul's wanting us to understand is that love is not just important, but it's the very foundation of who God is and what He calls us to be as believers. The title of our message, as I've said, is Love Fulfills, and that's taken out of verse 10 where Paul tells us that love fulfills the requirements of God's law. Now this morning as we walk through this, I want to read verse 8 down to verse 14. And then as I've said, we're going to come back and kind of park on that idea about how love is a fulfillment of God's requirements of the law. Now let me give you a little background here in that sense. When we talk about the law, we're talking about the Old Testament law. In fact, in part of this passage, he will draw from Exodus and a couple of statements from Leviticus in citing the law to make sure that people understood the connection of the law to where we are now in the New Testament. Now, we know from the Old Testament, the law could never be fulfilled no matter how hard we try. The Pharisees, even the Sadducees, all failed miserably in accomplishing the law as it was written. We sin. We're all sinners. We know that. And so Jesus comes, as we know, and he now pays the ultimate price. We're no longer indebted to the law, but we now, through Jesus, no longer have to meet the requirements of the Old Testament law. So now, as long as we know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, then we have no requirement of fulfilling that Old Testament law that, by the way, we would all fail miserably in attempting to accomplish or fulfill. And so the foundation of what we find in Jesus is what? It's love. So love is the foundation. It is, as Paul's telling us here, what fulfills the law under Jesus. What are we to do? We are to be like him. What was he? He was love. He came into the world and loved. Loved those even who would not love him and loved us so much that his Father sent him to die on the cross for us. So Jesus is, God is, everything that we know about the Bible, at least in the New Testament, and I would even add in the Old Testament as well, is foundationed or based on love. So as we read this, we're going to come back and we're going to look at four ways, or actually three, I think, three ways that love fulfills God's requirements. Let's pray, and then we'll read God's words together. Father, thank you for the blessing of this passage, and though it was written so long ago, its relevance for us today. And I pray that you would open our hearts this morning to begin to look at our journeys as believers first through your love. We've experienced your love in what you did on the cross through Jesus. We all experience that love on a daily basis because we now see forgiveness not only in our lives but also in our actions. Now, Father, I pray for that lost person this morning who may be here or may be watching this or may be listening to this sometime during the week. My prayer for them is that as they venture to try to understand God's love, they can't possibly understand it outside of knowing who Jesus is. I think they can see it, they can observe it, but they never truly experience that love until they accept Christ. So my prayer this morning is we venture through this and look at the requirements that you demand of us as believers, and that love is really the only answer to all of those requirements. I pray, God, that you would open that lost person's heart and that today they would finally come to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Now, Father, as we always say, please bless the reading of your word. Guide us as we venture through it this morning. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. We start in verse 8, and I'm reading out a New Living Translation. Owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation to love one another. There it is. I mean, it's as clear as can be. Because of who we are in Jesus, because of what God has done in our life, we've seen the display of God's love. Now we are commanded to love those around us. He goes on, if you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law. That, now this is going to be a reoccurring statement. He'll say it again here in a few minutes. But love is the basis of the only way that we can meet the requirements of God's law. And then he goes on, verse 9. For the commandments say, you must not commit adultery, you must not murder. Now he's quoting from Exodus. Must not steal, you must not covet. We know this as part of the Ten Commandments. And then he goes on, these and other such commandments are summed up in this one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to others, so love fulfills the requirements of God's law. And there it is. That's the message this morning. That's what we're going to come back and focus on. Then he goes on, verse 11. And we're just going to round this whole thing out and walk down to verse 14 just so that we have an honest view, if you will, of what he's saying here. This is all the more urgent, for you know how late it is. Time is running out. Wake up, for our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Now, if you think 2,000 years ago it was near, it's even nearer now. And as we think about that, we understand that there is an urgency for us to put on display God's love. Because the gospel is God's love. We are his children as believers. So we are commanded to be his instruments, if you will, of his love. And we must do that with a sense of urgency. Because we don't know how much longer we have on this earth. Verse 12, the night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. So remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes and put on a shining armor of right living. Verse 13, because we belong to the day, we must live decent lives for all to see. In other words, this is where he's now beginning to turn and remind us that we're putting on display God's love in all that we do. He goes on to reiterate that don't participate in the darkness of wild parties and drunkenness or sexual promiscuity, in immoral living, or in quarreling and jealousy. In other words, we ought to be marked by God's love in the way that we not only see the world, but the way that we live in it. And because of the transforming power of God's love in us as believers, we are different from the world. Now verse 14, instead he tells us, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. Again, he is reminding us of our sinfulness. He's reminding us of how in desperate need we are of God and his love and how we are to put that on display. But note this, it's not of anything that we can do. It's not under our power. It's simply because of the presence of Christ in our life that gives us the ability to love those around us. And so we go back to this question. How does love fulfill God's requirements? Paul says that very clearly in verse 10. Love fulfills the requirements of God's law. So we want to walk through this. Three things, as I've said, that will help us, I hope, to understand this. So if you have a pen and paper or whatever you take notes on, then I encourage you to take these because I think these are three. There are others that we could discover as well. We'll limit our discussion to these three this morning, but encourage you to continue to kind of search this question in comparison of the Old Testament law versus what we see in the fulfillment of what God requires in the New Testament through his love. Number one is this, and we see this embedded in this passage, but it also is something we see throughout Scripture, and that is this, how does love fulfill God's requirements? Number one, it is part of who God is. Now, God is love. It tells us that in 1 John chapter 4, all the way from verse 7 through 21 is one of the more, I think, popular places that teaches about that God is love. In fact, it not just teaches us, it tells us directly that God is love in 1 John chapter 4. And so we can't get around that. He defines love for us. Now, let me be careful here. Can a lost person love someone else? I think they can. For as much as the human capacity is given the ability to love others through the sense of how we understand love. So I don't dispute that a lost person can love another person, okay? I don't think that's the kind of love we're talking about here. We're talking about God's style love. Outside of a salvation experience in Christ, we cannot understand fully, and I don't know that we ever will, but we will have a difficult time, if not impossible time, to even grasp God's love. We don't even begin to understand it outside of knowing who Jesus is, outside of being a believer. So you could say it this way, yes, a lost person can love somebody, but they can't love them with God's kind of love, which is what he's talking about in this passage. They cannot love with God's love outside of a relationship with Christ. So as we begin to think about that love fulfills God's requirements, we first need to understand that that is who God is. And because we've been saved or transformed by the expression of God's love in that he sent his son to die on the cross for us, even before we ever even thought about who Jesus was, that is God's love and we experience that love. And so because of that, we now begin to see that through Jesus, we fulfill the requirements. How's that? Because we've accepted Jesus' love. And so as we understand that, we now begin to represent to those around us that transforming power, that love, as we talk about, God's kind of love. And again, Corinthians, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're not going to turn there, but that defines what that love means, what God's love looks like and how it's meant to change us. We got into it a little bit in this passage in that we're different. We're to clothe ourselves, he says in verse 14, with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and stand against the evil desires. In other words, it's something that every single day we are working toward allowing Jesus to change us and the transforming power and less of us and more of Jesus. And so it is a journey for us. I don't know that we ever get to a point where we now have the ability to understand or even to express God's love to the infinite degree so we don't ever have to learn with that anymore. I don't think we ever fully grasp or learn that, just like we are never fully complete. Now, we are complete in our salvation, but we never reach full maturity as a believer. We're always trying to work more toward, and I keep saying work, and that's probably not the right terminology, but we are always allowing God to transform us. Every single day, we're growing deeper in our faith, and so we're allowing God to change us through our desire to be more like him. And as we do that, we experience his love more. That's why I think in verse 14, he talks about we need to clothe ourselves with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the more we spend time with God and grow in our understanding of him, the more we experience his love, and listen to this, the more we're able to express that love and share that love with other people. Now, it's no accident today as we celebrate Memorial Day. And as you all know, we celebrate this day to mark all of those who have given their lives in the defense of this country in wars. And there are so many that we don't even know who have given their lives so that we can experience the freedom. Now, I'm not trying to compare what you and I do on a daily basis to that. It's incomparable. But we understand that Jesus sacrificed his life so that we could experience the salvation that comes from God's love. And so as we do celebrate the sacrifices that people make for our country, let's not lose sight of the most important sacrifice that was ever made for us, and that is Jesus going to the cross. And when you think about the sacrifices that people in this country have made for others, really, as a believer, we see that through a display of love. The sacrifices you make as a believer for your family and things that you may do, you may give up, you may decide are important and priorities and the decisions that you make, all of that should be based out of God's love for you and your ability to now begin to express God's love to other people. Think about it this way. Everything God does is based on his love. everything. We've talked about the easy parts. He sent Jesus to die on the cross. Okay, so that's an easy one. That's the greatest expression, I think, of his love. But even when we journey through the Old Testament, we've talked about the law. The giving of the law was an expression of his love in the Old Testament because people were beginning to cry out for some type of order in the way that they worship. And so he gave them the commandments. And then very quickly, out of that, we begin to see the Levitical law being set up and the tabernacle and all of the ritual and religious practices were set in place. Listen, all of those things were given because God saw the children that he loved struggling with how to make sense of their walk with him and how to express that. Now, we know that we don't have to express our love to God or be able to experience his love through some type of ritual. We know that doesn't have to happen. We just need to know him and be in his presence. That's what Paul reminds us in verse 14. Is that we clothe ourselves with his presence. And so out of that, we now begin to experience his love. That's all that's required. But as we venture through the Old Testament, you can find God's love threaded even in what seems to be the dark times, the judgments that we see all from those countries on the nation of Israel. That was an expression of God's love. He loved them so much that he set a standard, and when they failed to meet that standard, they suffered the consequences. It's called the Deuteronomic formula in the Old Testament. It's over and over and over again. We see that. And it's even found to some degree in the New Testament in a believer's life. Paul talks about the sin here. And don't indulge your evil desires and the change that is constantly at tension in our life to be more like Jesus, and then the flesh in us is struggling us to be like our old selves. Listen, that is much like that formula in that we mess up and make mistakes, but yet God does forgive us, and then he is willing to continue to restore us on that journey. And just like what we find in the Old Testament through an expression of God's love in that the nation would sin, God would forgive them, and then they would be restored into a right relationship. Listen, that happens almost every few days in some believers' lives. In that we sin, we make a mistake, and God forgives us. He begins to restore us and puts us back in a right relationship with him. So God's not changed, okay? Though times have changed, the way that we worship him perhaps has changed, the format in we worship him has changed, but God has not changed. And so going back, love fulfills God's requirements, number one, because it's part of who God is. We cannot get away from that. And because it's part of who God is, and because we are part of him, love now begins to infiltrate our lives. Number two is this. Not only is love a fulfilling of God's requirements through the fact that God is love, okay? But number two is this, it is what he wants us to be. I mean, as we've said, the very foundation of everything God's done and will do and is doing right now is based on his love. His desire is for us to be that love. I mean, we've experienced it. We've said through salvation, there's not a moment in this world that we've probably been away from God's presence at any moment. And so because of that, we've experienced his love constantly in different ways. I've said we may not as a non-believer fully be able to understand that love, but I certainly think we can see it on display. I think that's why Paul reminds us that we now begin to love others around us and we begin to reflect God's love because of the change in our lives. And so sometimes the act of God's love that people see are the things that believers do. I mean, we help people. We should be praying for people. We should be not just helping people in prayer, but sometimes we financially support people. And we're going and blessing people in ministry, helping people who are struggling to pay their bills sometimes. And sometimes it's just loving somebody, giving them an encouraging word, smiling at them in the line at Walmart. I mean, those are all ways that we can be on action for God, but sometimes the lost world sees God's love through the actions that you and I carry as believers. An unfortunate thing, we sometimes become so immune to that as believers that we forget that, and sometimes we don't even do that anymore. Sometimes it's just natural. Sometimes it's not. But it's always a struggle. And I think what Paul is reminding, and this is important, when we look at Romans, Paul is writing Romans really to clarify certain theological issues. He spends the first half of the book walking through specific theological problems like salvation and church issues and relationships. And then in our section here that we're covering this morning is how to live as a Christian. And so he talks about these in the first half, and then in the second half, he begins to turn and he starts talking about how those begin to impact our lives. So it's not just enough to know these things. It's important to see how they are to change us. The same thing about love. We may celebrate the experience of God's love and salvation, but if we're not seeing that displayed in our actions and we're now not on mission for love, then I begin to question, did we ever really experience that love? In other words, if you're a believer, then you should be changed. Your actions should begin to reflect that change. And the love that you've experienced now becomes a natural outflow of your life. Now, I've just said we sin and we struggle, and we do, but the deeper we grow in our faith, Paul says it this way, the more that we put on the clothing of the presence of God. In other words, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. The more we do that, the more we begin to understand that love and be able to display it. And as I've said, sometimes it is automatic. I think sometimes we don't realize that, but the change that happens, we now begin to see the world very differently. We talk about worldview. I believe that we as believers should have what we call a biblical worldview. Now, the lost world doesn't see the Bible as a sort of standard for seeing the world, but you and I as believers should. Why is that? Because God has taught us the way we should see things, the way that we should value things. The way that we should see the way that God commands us to right live and what wrong living looks like. And so we see the world and the world's events through that biblical teaching that he gives us, his truth. And so because we do that, we now begin to be shaped by that. Well, because we've experienced love much like that, we now begin to see the world through that lens of love. Our heart begins to change. And as believers who are in a right relationship with God, when we see a brother or sister in Christ hurting, listen, we should feel something. Our heart begins to be tugged toward that. When we see what's going on in our nation right now and the battle over abortion and the right to life and when the conception and life begins and all of those struggles, listen, it's clear to me. Life begins at the point that God gives a heartbeat to what we call that child. And so out of love, we're acting to stand up for that innocent life. That's a natural outflow of the presence of God. And I think as people who are Bible-believing Christians, who are growing in our faith, as he says here, putting on the clothing of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can't help but to be different. If we're not different, then there's something wrong in the way that we're pursuing God. Maybe we don't know him at all, or we've misunderstood things, or we're stifling that growth. I do. I think the closer you grow to him, the more evident that love is in your life. And it's seen in your demeanor and the way that you see things, the way that you speak to people, the way that you love people. I don't think that that's just something you pull out of a box on Monday and carry it when you need it. It's something that now becomes to just sort of exude out of you. It bubbles up out of you. Why is that? Because you've experienced God's love. And you do on a daily basis. And because of that, you now can't help but to see that love in action around you. So as we've said, love fulfills God's requirements. How is that? Because it's who God is. And we've said it's who and what he wants us to be. And then number three, and this one, I some of you who are, I guess fans of 60s music may recognize this, but we need to understand that love fulfills God's requirements because it's what the world needs. And I'm thinking of the old Burt Bacharach song that came out in 1965. I did not know that. I had to look that up. But it's entitled, What the World Needs Now is Love. Now, I'm not necessarily into Burt Bacharach, and I'm not saying that this is a theological declaration of love that we need to all learn and memorize. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying simply by the title, that is truth. What the world needs now is love. It's always need love, by the way. But probably now more than ever, it needs love. It needs the truth that is found in God's love. It needs the correction that is found in God's love. It needs the help that is found in God's love. It needs the hope that is found only in God's love. It needs the acceptance that is found only in God's love. The fellowship that is only found in God's love. And as we think about what the world needs and what they're desiring, there are a lot of reasons that people come to church. And we can argue all day long whether it's certain things that attract people into the church versus other things. And all of those things, I think, are debatable. But one thing that's not debatable is the presence of God's love. I really believe that you can do all kinds of really cool things with church. But if you don't have the presence of God's love and people who have been changed and transformed by that love, then you might get spectators, but you're not being the church as it's defined in Scripture. That may be a strong statement, but I believe that. I think some ways churches have lost their sense of just what we would call just the basic idea of love. If you love people, and as a church, you love those in your community and the people that God has placed in your path, then you will begin to see the growth that God desires for your church. And I don't think that what will keep people in a church is simply the programs. They're going to get bored with those after a while. You can have all kinds of great music. You can have the shining ball in the middle of the church that does all kinds of cool light shows. You can have the smoke. You can do all of those things. But all of those are surface in comparison to God's love. What people are searching for are not those things. They may think they are, but they're not in the end. It's God's love that they're searching for. And when they meet Jesus Christ, which is the function of the church to share that gospel, and people to begin, believers in that church, to disciple lost people in their walk with the Lord, then they begin to not only see God's love on display by other people, but they're experiencing it as well. And then in turn, they are now going out and loving other people, just like they've been loved by God himself and his children. I think Paul, remember, he's writing to the church. And in this particular section of chapter 13 is very clearly addressed to the function of the church in Rome. Now we know that by the time Paul writes this, he's not visited that church. It's something that he's preparing them for. And the church at Rome, don't forget this, was a very unique church. It was a church made up of great diversity. They didn't have just all Jewish Christians, and they didn't have just all Gentile Christians. They were one of the few places in the New Testament areas that had a mixture of both Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians. And there they were modeling really what the love of the church was all about. The more we experience God's love, right, the more we learn to love other people. And the more we learn to other people, then the more we're drawn toward him. You see that happen? That's why he's commanded us to be in a part of a believing community, to be part of a community, and to be able to grow in our faith and to serve the Lord as part of a faith community. Love fulfills God's requirements. That's not my statement. That's what Paul tells us. That's the truth that we find in Scripture. It's not just limited to what Paul says in this passage. It's something that we see really in the groundwork of both the Old Testament all the way through the New Testament. God has always been about love. He will always be about love. His desire to see you more like him is because of his love for you. And your desire to be like him is your ability to learn to love him more today better than you did yesterday. And the more you do that, then you begin to learn to love those around you. And it begins to change you. It transforms you. I think what Paul's reminding us today is one of the most essential cornerstones of our faith walk. And as I've said, I think sometimes we get so locked into the doing of our faith that we forget about the being of what God's commanded us to be. And there are a lot of things that we could put on this list, But the Bible teaches us the most important thing is love. It's loving him, and then out of that being changed and loving those around us. Father, I'm thankful this morning for this passage. And I pray right now for anyone who may be here or may be watching this who truly have never accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. And so I think they've been able to see God's love maybe on display. Hopefully they've seen it in the work of this church or in other believers that are parts of churches maybe. But more than anything else, my prayer this morning is that they desire to experience God themselves, to fully enter into what we know of is salvation so that they can not just experience God's love and forgiveness, which I think is the most important thing that happens, but also to begin to understand the presence of God. And as Paul tells us, to clothe ourselves with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. That can only happen once we know who Jesus is and accept him as our Lord and Savior. And this begins, I believe, through just a simple process of confessing our sin and asking God to send or to come into our lives through what Jesus did on the cross. And it happens in a prayer very similar to something like this. Father, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that I'm in desperate need of Jesus and his forgiveness. And so today, this morning, I want to ask you to forgive me of my sin, and I want to ask Jesus into my heart. Now, if you've prayed a prayer like that or something similar to that, or maybe that exact prayer, then I believe if you meant that in your heart, then you have now asked God to forgive your sin, and I believe he's done that. And then you've asked Jesus into your heart, and so you now have become a believer. And now it's important that you begin to understand what that means. And that's why I think it's vital for you to reach out to a believer just as soon as you can, later today, or to call our church and tell us that you've prayed to accept Christ. It's important that you begin to get some nurturing and some direction. Now, we know that joining a church does not save you, and that's not what we're pushing for. What we're more interested in is that you get the resources and the directing that you need to figure out how you can keep growing and be a part of a faith community. Whether it be here or somewhere else, doesn't matter. It's just important to you for you to be around other believers. And then for the believer this morning, who many of us may have on a regular day forgotten the importance of God's love. Not just in what we've experienced, but in what we should be putting on display in the others around us. Your love, Father, fulfills the requirements. There's no question about that. But I think sometimes we have forgotten that. And we've just sort of become immune to the command to love others. And there are other places in Scripture that teach this. But I pray that as we, maybe the time is urgent. I mean, I think we're getting close. We don't know how much longer we're going to be in this world. We don't know how much longer we're going to be able to operate even as a functioning church in the world we live in. And certainly, based on what the Bible says, getting closer to the end times, we know that our faith will not be accepted and won't be tolerated in a lot of ways, and the church will be persecuted. That's spoken of much at the end of the New Testament. So we don't know where we are on that timeline. But we know for the time that we have and the days that you've given us, we have a mission. And that is to share your love with those around us as we experience more and more of your transforming love. Now, Father, I pray that as we go into this time of commitment, whatever decisions might need to be made, we pray, God, that you would guide us in that. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.